Well, good morning, Evanston Avenue. I'm Tina.
And I'm Keith, and somebody's here to see you. Happy Mother's Day.
Aw, thank you.
And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and mother figures in our congregation. Did you know that on Mother's Day, around 122 million phone calls are made to moms?
That's a lot of phone calls.
If you've ever wondered what your next steps might be to get connected to Evanston, we have a quick video to help you decide.
So check it out.
I'd better call my mom.
Good morning. I'm Parker, and I'm usually behind the camera, but I wanted to take a second to let you know about your next steps. We hope you enjoy your time with us, and we hope that you leave here transformed, encouraged, and challenged. And, with that in mind, you might be wondering if there is something else for you, or if there might be some way to get more connected with us here at Evanston. Well, guess what? There is! If you are in 6th through 12th grade, your next step is to join Joy and her crew upstairs for Hype, every Sunday night at 6 p.m. The youth get together for worship, games, and fun. Then, if you're in the 5th grade and below, we have Bible Times Club with Mr. Darren and his team. Check it out Sunday nights at 6 p.m. downstairs in the Fellowship Hall. Finally, we want to encourage everyone with stories of faith, so we are working on a new project to tell some of the amazing life stories of people in our church and what it was like for them to take their next steps. So here's a sneak peek.
Ten Boom shared her story of pain and served as an example of forgiveness when she forgave her Nazi captor. Stories. The Bible is full of them. There are big stories like David defeating Goliath. There are also smaller everyday stories. But they're all great and important stories, and we want to hear yours. In the coming weeks, we'll be featuring short videos of personal next step testimonies from our congregation. If you want to share your story, please contact Pastor Matt. And remember, every story is unique and precious, and we want to showcase yours.
Oh my Lord, it's a winding road. It's all bent from a heavy load.
So now that you know what your next step is, make sure you stay in the loop with our weekly events and activities.
To do that, look no further than your bulletin. It is filled with information about our church that you might find handy.
In the bulletin, you'll also find our connection card. If you fill that out, we'll make sure that you stay up to date with all things going on at the church.
You can also use that card to let us know if you need prayer or would like someone from the church to contact you.
So if you would please fill out that card and leave it on the pew when you leave, one of our amazing ushers will pick it up for you. Or, if you're more of a techie, you can find an expanded calendar and connection form on our website.
The website is a great resource where you can find all the information you're looking for.
We also post inspiring articles and resources there a couple times a week.
Don't forget, if you want to go back and listen to a Sunday school lesson or sermon, you can do that too. We have an archive with the audio and the slides and so much more.
So head on over to EvanstonAvenueBaptist.com or follow us on social media to stay connected.
It's almost time for Pastor Matt, but before that, we do have a couple more important things to share with you.
Bible Times Club Carnival is May 21st at 6 p.m. It's the last Bible Times Club until fall, so don't miss it. We're also looking for donations for prizes, so if you have something to offer, please see Mr. Darren.
Unity tickets are on sale now. The cost is $25 for a single day and $45 for all 3 days. You can buy them in the lobby or at the office all week. Good news! We have all our leaders for VBS, but we still need you. We're looking for more workers, so if you can help, please make sure to talk to Joy.
Well, now that we have you up to speed, it's time to grab a pencil and take out your Bibles.
And if you don't have a Bible, feel free to take one of ours from the pews. It's our gift to you.
Now here's Pastor Matt continuing our series Animate with his sermon on godly moms. Mom? Hello? Mom? Are you there? Hello? Hello?
Here's Pastor Matt.
Sure that I will be calling my mom and talking to her in just a moment. I'm going to invite the ushers to go ahead and take up our offering. We do have something that we need to do prior to our service this morning. So I'm going to, in just a moment, I'm going to be inviting the elders and a guest to come up here for just a second. I do have to report that as a good dad, as a good parent, I was diligently seeking to instill in my boys the essence of Mother's Day celebration. So last night at 10:30, we went to Myers to join all the other dads that were buying Mother's Day cards and flowers, and we all fell right in. We're like, "Hey, you're here too!" Yeah, it was great. And that's just part of, I think, bringing up boys is teaching them how to scramble to find presents. But I would like to do at this time is I would like to bring our elders up and our special guest. What we did is, for those of you that were with us for the last couple of weeks, we mentioned that, okay, elders, come on up. We mentioned that there was a need in our family. Part of what we do as a church is we do something called benevolence, and that's just a fancy way of saying that when there's a need in our congregation and people bring that to us, as a church family, as a body of Christ, we strive to meet those needs. Darren, I'm going to give you this, sir. And for our Easter offering, we had decided rather than putting our offering to an outside agency, as great as they are, there was a need in our congregation. So with Monica's permission, we made Monica and Pete the recipients of our Easter offering. Pete had a really bad fall and was off work for a long time and tons of medical bills. So thank you guys for your generosity. I'll turn it over to Darren at this point in time, but this church was fantastically generous. Yes. To Pete and Monica. So, Darren, go ahead.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Matt. I just read in the Bible this morning, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And we put out the opportunity for you to give to the need here, and you just overwhelmingly supported Pete and Monica in this. And maybe Monica just wants to say a little thank you to the congregation.
I wanted to say thank you for your prayers, your cards, and your generosity, and to the kids who aren't in here, but the leaders of the Bible Times Club for the poster that they had made for him that was up on his wall at Mary Freebed. He enjoyed that very much every morning to see that big sunshine smiling at him in the words of "Get well." So thank you very much.
Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. And but that's really the way the body of Christ works, and it was all of you, so thank you so much. And we wanted to have some time to pray for Monica and Pete and just let her know. And Pastor Matt, would you lead us in prayer right now?
Yeah, could you guys just stand right here just so that we can lay some hands on you guys just because we love you guys. So, all right, let me pray for you guys. Well, Father God, as we gather in your presence, we are just so grateful for Pete and for Monica, Lord. We're grateful for Pete and his recovery, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have just to come alongside and be a very small blessing in their world. But Lord, we just pray that you'll continue to restore Pete as he recovers, continue to provide for the needs that are still out there, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for them. Lord, we thank you for Evanston and for their generosity. But Lord, right now, may Pete and Monica just know in a new and amazing way how much you love them and how much you care for them. And Lord, thank you for letting us be a part of that. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please. Please. All righty. Well, hey, I'm going to ask the ushers to come up and we'll change gears a little bit, and we'll get ready to hear God's word and to pray. So if you want to grab your Bible, this would be a good time to do that. If you want to grab your note sheet that's in your bulletin, we'll open God's word together here in just a moment. But first, as again, we continue to be a church that shows generosity to people, thank you again for the offering this morning. Let me pray and just commend these gifts to God. Father, we love you, we praise you, and Lord, we recognize that all that we have, including the breath in our lungs, is a gift from you. So, Father, we return to you just a small portion of our breath as we praise you. We give back to you a small portion of our treasures as we give an offering, Father. And Lord, we give you our lives as a living sacrifice to use us as you see fit. Father, may you take these offerings, all of it and all of us, and would you please use us to advance your kingdom here in Muskegon and around the world. Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for this day. As we open your word, may your Holy Spirit enliven it in our lives. And Father, as the pastor, I simply ask, may my words fall to the ground, and may your words endure forever to change our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, we've been in this fun little series called Animate. It's been great. And we're actually, last week we did part one of a barriers question. We're taking a little break because we got to talk about some awesome moms this morning. Amen? Amen? I don't think there's any non-awesome moms, so I think I can make that an absolute statement there. We're going to celebrate all the awesome moms that are in the room today. And ultimately, the series Animate kind of applies. Because as you know, obviously I can't speak to what it's like to be a mom, but I know as a dad and as a parent and talking to the mom that I'm married to and talking to many other moms, that one of our heart's desires as parents is kind of twofold. We want to live the spiritually animated life. We want to be fully alive. And the idea of animate comes from Colossians 3:16 when it says, "Let the word of Christ live in you richly." And that's what we want for us. But then as parents, there's this added piece of we want our kids to live the spiritually animated life. We want them to be alive in Christ. Amen? And so that's why I'm so happy that we'll have Mother's Day and Father's Day both falling into this series. To me, it's exciting. And so today we're going to focus, obviously, on the moms. But I want to start out with a quote. It's rare when I can open up with a quote from this gentleman here. You guys... The late and very funny, sometimes rather inappropriate, Robin Williams. Does anybody know what movie this is? Patch Adams, a sort of a biographical pick. And I was struck by this movie when it opened because it actually started with this quote. It said, "All of life is a coming home. Salesmen, secretaries, coal miners, beekeepers, sword swallowers, all of us. All the restless hearts of the world, all trying to find a way home." I thought, what better way to start an idea of Mother's Day? Because so often when we think of home, we think of mom and coming home to be with her. Now, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, for some of us, this is going to be a tough day because some of us, we're very blessed and very fortunate to have grown up with awesome, godly moms. And that's great. We love those memories. Some of those moms have gone to be in heaven. And remembering that today is going to be a tough thing. And some of us, we didn't grow up with a godly mom. And we have some rough stories. And so I just ask you to hang with me because the stuff we're going to be talking about today applies to more than just moms, but we definitely want to remember that and celebrate that as we're thinking about coming home, as we're thinking about being with our moms. I just think it's so important to understand what it takes for you guys as the moms to be godly moms. Amen? Because let me tell you, I'm qualified to tell you a thing or two about that. You're really not, and I'm sorry. Let's go to somebody who has a little bit more experience and authority in the idea of motherhood. I want to invite you guys to join me in the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we're going to talk about a mom who a lot of times is completely overlooked. You know, we talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus. We talk about other moms that are in there. Last week we were talking about, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their wives and how they weren't such great moms to follow. But in 1 Samuel, there's this mom who just has a very, very brief appearance in Scripture. But yet, in this very cute little story, there's a tremendous amount of human drama. And through it all, we actually can find at least three really good truths that we need to apply into our lives so that we can, so that you guys can be godly moms who pass on the living faith to your children. So let me read this story for you. It's 1 Samuel. If you're looking for 1 Samuel, conveniently located in front of 2 Samuel. It's wonderful how that works. Right after Ruth. But we read this. It says, "There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite, in the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite." And just so you know, guys, if you're reading God's word and you come to names like that, Here's how you pronounce them. Fake it. Nobody knows. Just fake it. Say it authoritatively. Nobody knows the difference. And we can apologize when we get to heaven if we messed up their names. So anyway, so this guy, Elkanah, verse 2, he had two wives. One was called Hannah. The other was Peniah. Peniah had children, but Hannah had none. And year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came near for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to his wife and to her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Let me stop here for just a second. In biblical times, you know, I know many couples that have wrestled and struggled through the issues of infertility, and I know how heartbreaking it can be. I'm sure all of that was present in Hannah's life, but there would have been an added dimension to her suffering. For a woman who could not bear her husband's children, it was a social and spiritual disgrace. Because if you couldn't bear children, your husband's line could not continue. His name would not continue. And it was generally considered that if you were not bearing children, it was your fault because of a sin issue in your life as a woman. It's a really raw deal. And in fact, under biblical law, a husband could divorce his wife for no reason other or for any reason, including she didn't have kids for me. So this was a really heavy weight that was just burdening on Hannah's heart. And I love that the Bible is showing us how her husband, Elkanah, was a good man, an honorable man. He loved her, was providing for her, and was doing all of this in spite of the social and spiritual assumptions that people would make. So, verse 7, this went on year after year. And of course, the other wife was making fun of her. Now, we don't have multiple wives today. Amen? Back in the day, that was okay. But whenever Hannah went up, verse 7, whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept, and she would not eat. So this is a really tough, very difficult family situation. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Men, can I just say, oops. We aren't always known as husbands for being the most sensitive guys in the world, and Elkanah is with us. Amen? Okay, not. He was trying. But then check this out. This is where our story kind of picks up. Verse 9. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, I will then give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." And she kept praying to the Lord. As she kept praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth, and Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you keep getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "No, my lord," she said. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Verse 17, Eli answers and says, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." And then she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they rose, they worshiped before the Lord, and they went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah lay with his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. So she named him Samuel, meaning, "Because I asked the Lord for him." Verse 21, when the man Elkanah went up with all of his family to offer their annual sacrifice to the Lord to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. And she said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." "Do what seems best to you," Elkanah, her husband, told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." And so the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she weaned him. After she had weaned him, she took the boy with her as he was, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, which ephah is just like a measure, like a bushel of flour, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord. When they slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "As surely as you live, my Lord, I am a woman who stood beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord granted me what I asked of him. I now give him to the Lord for his whole life, and he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. It's a pretty incredible story when you think about it. Pretty incredible story. In our life groups, we were unpacking this passage a little bit, and one of the questions I asked was, have you ever made a promise that you wished you could have broken? You know, because as a parent, just thinking through what it would take for me to give up one of my children, I think the words "over my dead body" might somewhere, you know, enter into my thinking to do that. And this would be one of those times that if I had made that promise to the Lord, saying, if you let me have a child, I will dedicate him to the Lord, that would probably be the moment when I say, I think I'm going to break my promise. And we look at Hannah, and she didn't. And so I think for us, as we're considering, what does it take to be a godly mom? I think there's at least three truths that we can pull out of this story that will help us to kind of wrestle with that question. And you see, the first one is actually in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20. We see this truth, is that godly moms recognize God's gift. Amen? And it's easy for us to look at this and to say, my goodness, Samuel was such a blessing in her life because she had prayed and she had waited and she had fasted and she had done all these things. And finally, when God remembers her and she conceives and have a son, you know, that is so fantastic. This child is obviously a gift from God. And of course, all of us who are parents, all of you who are moms, you know every child is a gift from God. Amen? And it does not matter the situation of their conception or who they were born to or how. Every child is a gift from God. I know this. I was an oops. I was an unwanted pregnancy. My parents were not married. I was the product of a drunken one-night stand. I was born after Roe versus Wade. I think my parents made a wise choice, but I'm kind of biased. And I'll never forget it because when we had John, when he was a baby, about 3 months old, we brought him to the church we were attending to go through baby dedication, to go through that whole process. And so we're there, and there were a couple of other parents that were there to dedicate their children as well. And I'll never forget it because one of the parents that was there was a single mom. She was engaged, they got pregnant, and the there's a nice word for him. He left. And he said, I don't want to be a dad right now. Bye. Calls off the engagement, left her stranded. And so she was there as a single mom, having conceived a child out of wedlock. And she was standing there with us to have her baby dedicated to the Lord. And I remember there was a person in my own family. And then the response, seeing a single mother there, the response was this. Which is code for, I'm really upset right now. And I asked, well, you know, what's the problem? And the response from a family member of mine, oh, I don't think that child should be dedicated. Why not? Do tell. And the response was because that child was conceived in sin. And I'm thinking, so was I! We don't always think before we engage our mouth, amen? And this is just one of those moments where it's like, do you realize who you're talking to here? Okay. But I just asked this one very simple question. I said, my child and Becky's child who was conceived the proper way, and this child who was not, which one of them needs Jesus more? And the answer is both need him exactly the same. Every child is a gift from God. Every child needs to be loved, protected, celebrated, nurtured, and taught the ways of the Lord. Every child needs that. Part of the history of our church, not Evanston, the church in general, When the church was spreading into Europe for the first time, there were actually laws. I'm talking back like, you know, we're in the 2000s now. We're talking back in the hundreds, you know, when Christianity was spreading up into Europe. There were laws on the books that said any child, especially girls, who did not meet the parents' desires, they could abandon that child in the garbage dump to let her die because they wanted a different child. It literally was a disposable society. You could throw away your daughters if you didn't want them. And the early Christians were absolutely convinced, no, every child is a gift. Every child is precious in God's eyes. Matthew 19 says, let the little children come to me. Don't do anything to hinder them. And so these early Christians would crawl through the garbage dumps and they would take the abandoned children and says, as long as I have breath, you will live. And so there were generations of young people who grew up because the body of Christ said, no, every child is a gift from God. And every mother here knows that. Whatever the circumstances of a child's arrival into this world, every child is a gift. That's why we love children in this church. Amen? Because we know everyone is loved by God, protected by God, and has a future that will change this world. And we have the opportunity to join with all the moms in this room and to help those children know Jesus and change the world. Every child is a gift, and Hannah knew that that was no exception. Here comes Samuel. Because I asked God for him, he is a gift. That's truth number one. Truth number two is this. Truth number two is that godly moms are a safe haven. Now, there's a word in the text in verses 22 through 23. You kind of see it used. We don't use it as much anymore. But Hannah said, you know, I'm not going to go back up to Shiloh. I'm not going to go back to the tabernacle yet until my son is weaned. Not an expression we use a ton anymore, but the idea biblically of weaning, you know, we think of it in terms of going from nursing to being able to you know, eat food. That's part of it. But the idea of weaning was to give the child a secure foundation that he would be ready, that he would know that he could feed himself and clothe himself and take care of himself. My friends, what I want to tell you is this. We all need the safe haven. We all need the safe haven. And godly moms, with all of the things that they do, one of the most important things that you do as a godly mom is you provide a safe haven. You provide a safe haven physically, emotionally, and spiritually for your kids. Sometimes for your kids as friends, or your grandkids, or your nieces and nephews, or other people that happen to look to you as a mom. And there's this safe haven principle that to me is so absolutely important, and that's included when Hannah is talking about weaning and being there and nurturing her son and giving him that foundation of trust to begin living his life in. And you see, for us as parents, especially as moms, you know, and this is true, this is a documented fact, okay? Here it is. There's a rare form of injury that only occurs to children. Very rare form that only occurs to children. There is no doctor who could treat it. There is no medicine that could cure it. And what's even more scary is that there is no diagnostic equipment, no MRI, no X-ray, no CAT scan, nothing that could even detect this injury. And yet, when I go to my mom and I say, I have a boo-boo, she knows where it is, she finds it, she kisses it, she makes it all better, and gives me candy. Yay! Moms are awesome. And there's that principle that, yes, we know there's really no injury there. We know. But when that little child comes up to us and says, I have a boo-boo, I have an injury, I am hurting, what they need is mom to be the safe haven to say, it's okay, I got you. I'm going to give you the kiss, it's going to be all better. When our kids do that, it's usually a matter of seconds, like, okay, I'm good. And then off they go. It is amazing to me. And moms, here's why this is so important. Here's why this is so critical for us as parents. It's absolutely essential for you as a mom. When you are the safe haven for your children, they get a glimpse of God. Psalm 46, verse 1. Write that psalm down, please. Look it up. It starts out by saying, God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is our safe haven. And the way that I know what it's like to be in a safe haven starts with mom saying, come here. You got a boo-boo? I got this. I know how to give you the kiss that makes it all better. And as silly and as weird as it sounds, in those moments, our children begin to learn what it's like to be in a refuge, to be around strength that protects them, to be in the safe haven. And as Hannah was nurturing little Samuel, that's part of what she was doing. God has you, my son. You will be safe. And all the craziness that would follow in the rest of Samuel's life, his safe haven was the Lord. And so for us, we can help our children cling to God as their safe haven by being a safe haven ourselves. And it's more than just telling them you're safe. They know it. They experience it. There's nothing more disturbing to me than when our six-year-old wakes me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Not because he screams, but because he stands next to me and looks at me until I wake up. It's like, yeah. What can I do for you? I had a bad dream. I don't know what the bad dream was. I don't care. There's a monster in your closet. I'm going to go beat him up so you can go to bed. And I walk my son back to his bed, tuck him in. We pray again. He sleeps through the rest of the night. Because I want my son to know that as long as I have breath, he will be safe. And I want my son to know that as long as God has breath, because there will be a day when my breath expires, as long as God has breath, he will be safe. I know for you as moms, day in and day out, this is the job that you do. You are the safe haven for your kids. But the reason that I picked Hannah's story is because, you know, it'd be great if this was the end of it. Yep, moms are safe havens. Amen. Praise God. But there's something else. There's another truth we need to consider. Number three, godly moms release their kids. See, this is going to be real easy for me to preach because I haven't had to do it yet. Our oldest is 16, so release away, parents. But I can only imagine how difficult this would be. And I want to draw your attention to something. If you join me in chapter 1, verse 24, you know, after Samuel was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord. And we may be missing the significance of that. But in Bible times, worship was sacrifice. When you went before the house of the Lord, when you went before God, you had to bring something to sacrifice. And in this case, she brought a 3-year-old bull. Those are big, by the way. I don't know how moms can do anything, right? But, you know, so mom was leading the 3-year-old bull over there. But ultimately, what I want you to understand is that when Hannah was giving Samuel to the Lord, she was doing it in the context of worship. She was doing it in the context of sacrifice. And if you look with me into chapter 2, what happens next is amazing. Because after she had done this, after she hands Samuel to Eli, which by the way, if you look at the text, Eli didn't know this was coming. Hannah was praying, saying, God, I will dedicate him to you for the rest of my life. Eli was thinking she's drunk and just said, go, God will grant your request. He never actually asked, hey, what was the request, by the way? Can you imagine that? Here's the kid, take care of him, bye. Please don't do that. I realize this is a form of the house of God. Please don't leave your kids here. We love them, but we want you to take them back with you. Then please just, now we go. You know, but godly moms do this. And it may not be at 6 or 7 when Samuel was weaned. Even the Bible says he was really young for this. But at some point in time, all of us as parents and all of you as moms, we release our children out into the world. And that's scary. Children are a gift. We are their safe haven, but we're also meant to be their launch pad. The psychologists actually call this the secure base. We see it in little kids. You ever watch a little kid like playing and they kind of wander away and play for a little while? They kind of look around, where's mom? And they go back to the safe haven for a little while, and then they go back out. That's what God wired us to do. God wired us that once we have a secure foundation, we leave it. We come back to it, we come home to it, but we ultimately leave. And godly moms release their children. And again, just thinking about it, as a son who's starting to drive, starting to take those steps into adulthood, that's scary stuff. And I think Jesus knew that. Because for us as Christians, in general, it's the same thing. God saves us. God brings us into his family, our safe haven here, the church, the fellowship of believers. God brings us into that. But then he says, go. God did not just save us to live in the safe haven of the church. God saves us to go out in mission and then come back. To leave with him. And when Jesus was sending his people out, when he was sending the disciples out to do this, these are his words from Matthew 10:16. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. But that's that idea. I mean, I could just thinking about my son driving, that's what comes to mind. Like, I'm sending him out like a sheep among the wolf. He's so not ready for this. But as parents, as moms, what we do is we release our kids into the world. And we do so, we know that it is an act of worship, it is an act of sacrifice, just as much as it was for Hannah in these times. But as we release our children, it's again our way of communicating to them that God does not just save us so that he can take care of us. He does not just save us so that we can feel loved and affirmed. God saves us, he loves us, he brings us into the family so that we can leave and bring others in. The good news with our kids is, well, they bring others into the family, though, too, don't they? How many of you are in-laws? How many of you are outlaws? Outlaw, yeah. It's all good. But there's just that reality that as we go out into the world, occasionally we do return home. And that's why I enjoyed the quote from Patch Adams so much, talking about how all of life is a coming home. We can spin that and talk about spiritual home. We can talk about going home to our parents and all that. But it's true. We leave our home, and godly moms release their kids. Now, I have to tell you, though, the authority that we have in this church is not a Robin Williams movie. Amen? Because, and here's the problem, as much as I enjoyed the movie Patch Adams, there's a heartbreaking part where Patch Adams loses his love interest and he has an argument with God. And he ultimately, the argument, the conclusion for Patch Adams was ultimately to reject God. To say, if you could let this tragedy happen, you're not worth it, is what Patch Adams, characterized by Robin Williams, said to God. And then the end of the movie is ultimately saying, the only thing that makes life make sense is you have to make something out of it yourself. There's actually another movie by the late Mr. Williams that captures that point even better. This is the end of a same conclusion, different movie. Because in the end, none of us have very long on this earth. Life is fleeting. Make your life spectacular. Now, my friends, these are well-written words from the movie Jack. They were well-acted by Robin Williams. And I'll be honest, every time I watch that scene, I tear up. I'm a marshmallow, I admit it. But I want you to understand this, because this movie and Patch Adams both had the same ending, which is ultimately, you're alone. And the only thing you have is you make your life spectacular. It's well written, but the lie is lurking beneath. You have to make your life spectacular because no one else will. The lie of this world says that we are alone. The lie of this world says that we all die alone. The lie of this world says that there's no one who will love us if we are unlovable. The lie of this world is everywhere, isn't it? Nobody's there. It's just us. So make your life spectacular because no one else will. My friends, that's a lie. That is absolutely a lie, because Jesus comes and Jesus brings a very different message. Jesus' message is this: come unto me and I will give you rest. I'm in this with you. And at the very beginning of this season, of this series, we talked about what God wants from you is a peace-filled, resting relationship where it's you and Him together for all eternity. We are not alone. We're not alone. But here's the problem, my friends. Here's the problem as we wrap up this morning. I know Jesus is here. I know that He's present with us. But part of the tough part of it is I can't see Him. I can't reach out and grab His hand. I can't hear Him. I know I can talk to Him, but He doesn't usually speak back to me in a way that I can hear directly. And so, yes, there's faith, and yes, God is always with us, but here's the cool thing about it. Here's what's really awesome about how God created us, is He created us that we need other people in our lives. Because what God does is He moves through the other people so that we become the ones who speak His words. We become the ones that can give the hug. And when we are fortunate enough, my friends, to have a godly mom, we get this amazing glimpse of who Jesus Christ is. When we have a godly mom in our life, we have this amazing understanding because we know that somebody is for us. Somebody is on our side, even if nobody else is. When all of life falls apart around us, when everything is going wrong, we know that there's still someone who can wrap their arms around us. Somebody who can whisper and can say, "It's okay, I love you." And even when the problem is too big for a mom's kiss to fix, to know that we have one person at least that is with us, it becomes the demonstration of the fact that our God never leaves us and never forsakes us. Even though our moms leave, they go to heaven, in them we get this amazing glimpse of the God who loves us more than His own life. So for moms out there, we love you. We value you as the great, awesome, godly moms that you are. As a dad, I know I can't do your job. I just can't. I can't do it as well. I can't do it as thoroughly. I can't do all of it at once. I don't know how you guys do that multitasking thing. But I'm so grateful for the godly moms in this church, because you are teaching your children what God is like. Let me pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you so much for the godly moms that you've given to us. Father, we thank you for how they are so often a representation or the first lesson that we have about what you are like. Father, for all the godly moms in this room that are trying so hard to live for you, to live the spiritually animated life, Father, today, this week, and the next couple of weeks, would you please just breathe into them the fresh wind of your Holy Spirit. Encourage them, Father. When the children are doing the thing they do that drives us nuts again and again and again, Lord, give us the fresh wind of your Holy Spirit. Lord, remind us that these children are gifts of you, and that when we establish them in a safe haven of your love, when we release them back to you into the world, Lord, that you are a good and faithful Father, that you walk with them and you never let them go. So, Father, we thank you for our kids. We thank you for fighting for our kids. We thank you for loving our kids more than we ever could. Father, I thank you for the moms, and I just pray that on this day they are blessed beyond measure. So we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my friends, as God is good, as He's given us moms, as He's given us every good and perfect gift, would you please stand with us as we worship all that He is and all that He's done.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see His wounds. his hands is free. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and alone.
Mighty to save.